First, of course, Russia and Ukraine. So let's bring in our first guest for the hour, Christopher Smart, Barings Investment Institute head and chief global strategist. Christopher, it's great to have you on the show. We were just showing markets down across the board today. What do you see as the market digestion of the news headlines that we got over the weekend, now that we know that it appears, if anything, the tensions between Russia and Ukraine can only escalate from here?
Well, that's what it would seem. And I think those of us who were following these events closely would have predicted a much more risk-off environment for both stocks and fixed income markets. I think the dollar was even up, it was even down a little bit today, suggesting not so much a flight to risk, not so much a flight away from risk as a flight feeling more or less comfortable. I think the positive spin here is that the story is winding down, that Putin is sending troops across the border. But in fact, he already has his representatives in this part of Ukraine. Not much has changed yet. The recognition is a legal thing. It's a symbolic thing. It's not going to escalate from here. But I think if you, and that was something that you probably could have expected very early on in this crisis. But I think if you had listened to Putin's speech yesterday, it was a real barn burner. And he is essentially calling into question much of the post-Cold War order, the legitimacy of the Ukrainian state, the intentions of NATO allies in Europe itself. And I think it's hard to imagine, at least right now, things stopping right here. And that's why I think we may be braced for some more volatile times ahead.
Yeah, Christopher, I wonder if you can elaborate on that comment you just made about the story winding down. Do you mean the market risk and the jitters that have come with a potential invasion last week? Now we see the actual invasion playing out. Granted, it is so far limited to the separatist regions.
I think markets today are kind of breathing a very small sigh of relief that things aren't much worse than they are. But make no mistake, I think things are bad. And there is a lot of potential for them to get worse. Now, just to back up a half a step, I still think it remains unlikely that we're going to see a massive Russian invasion of Ukraine. That's a very big commitment. It would be very difficult. And I think the last thing Putin wants would be to be owning a very large country of very unhappy people under his control. I think more likely you'll see fighting in the Donbas escalate from here between Russian troops and Ukrainian troops. And that will lead to, you know, more severe sanctions that the Biden administration has been putting in the window, really, for the last several weeks. It's very hard for them. We'll hear from the president, I think, this afternoon. It's going to be very hard for them to pull away from something quite severe if things escalate from here.
Christopher, you were working in the White House in 2014, 2015, when the escalation between Russia and Ukraine was heating up over Crimea. What makes this episode different than then?
Well, a couple things. I think, first of all, then it was a much murkier set of developments that caught a lot of people by surprise. The fall of the president of Ukraine, who actually fled the country in the dark of night, I think caught everybody by surprise. And Putin's reaction to that, his use of that fluid moment to annex Crimea. And so the Obama administration, of which I was a part, was deliberately escalating pressure on him. The focus then, I think, was really to put pressure on Putin, his advisors, but also to protect the broader Russian economy from the impact of sanctions. What is different today is that the list of sanctions, potential sanctions that the administration has outlined, in conjunction with European allies, importantly, they have worked to make sure these things will move together, is much more targeted at a broader set of impacts on the Russian economy, the Russian banking system, probably stopping short of something that will disrupt oil and gas flows, but something with very severe consequences for the Russian economy, with some disruption in Western markets as well.
Christopher, with that said, that threat has been there throughout the diplomatic back and forth. That didn't necessarily deter President Putin from going in yesterday. I mean, how effective can they really be?
Well, that's the thing with sanctions, right? If you're not going to send troops and you're not going to do nothing, this is a middle ground that to some extent has a deterrent character. You know, I think things in 2014 might have gotten worse had we done nothing at all. This time around, I think Putin has been clearly bracing for them. He's been expecting them, maybe not expecting the unified Western response that there has been. And we'll see if it deters him from further actions. It's sort of an unanswerable question in many ways. I think the other important part about sanctions is they really do send a very important symbolic message and punitive message to the Russian economy that this is something that Europe, the United States, the global order, if you will, doesn't find acceptable. And some consequence has to be paid. He may be willing to pay that price for a whole variety of reasons. So I don't think it's realistic to expect that this is going to make him say, oh, gosh, I'm going to turn around and go home. But it may, on the margin, deter an escalation from here that he might be considering.
Christopher, and then just kind of putting all the pieces together from a market standpoint, it's not like Jay Powell is going to have any sort of stance on the whole Russia-Ukraine conflict. But do you think that not just the Fed, but other global central banks are paying attention to this within the context of whether or not this is introducing some sort of market volatility or perhaps a change of financial conditions, which they would want to pay attention to?
They are clearly paying attention. I mean, this is obviously outside of their bailiwick, much as the way Omicron and the global pandemic were outside of COVID, were outside of their bailiwick. But they have to understand that in a similar but very different way, this is a series of events that could certainly raise the risk of higher oil prices, could raise the risk of maybe a change in demand functions, particularly in Europe. If you got to a stage where you interrupted Russian exports of oil, Russian exports of gas, you could see prices of oil going to $150 or higher. And if that stays there for any longer period of time, that's going to have some inflationary impacts they have to respond to. At the same time, it's going to be a big blow to investment confidence and demand. So they're going to have to walk a fairly careful balance as they try and determine which of those two forces they need to respond to most with a very blunt set of tools.
Yeah, certainly another bullet point to watch for in that next meeting from the Fed on March 16th. But Christopher Smart, Barings Investment Institute head and chief global strategist, thanks so much.